you this. Have you been blessed? Probably you've been blessed, hadn't you? We've all been blessed. And you know why we've been blessed? We've been blessed in order to be a blessing. Can I ask you a question? Are you a blessing to somebody? Are you being a blessing to somebody? Or are you just wanting to, come on, give me all the blessings, God, but I don't really want to be a blessing to anybody else? No, I don't think that's the way you're feeling today. We all want to be a blessing. I want to preach today on the subject of give me a hand. Give me a hand. How many of you need a hand? You say, man, I could use a hand. I sure could. I could use a hand. And the Lord has saved us to be a blessing. That is, he saved us to and called us, furthermore, to be peacemakers and to be, what's this, burden bearers. Are you bearing others' burdens? Are you up under the load? Are you willing to say, Lord, I want to give a helping hand? I want to give a hand. The Lord put this message on my heart this week. And it's entitled, Give Me a Hand. The puppy in the picture looks like he could use a hand, certainly. And speaking of hand, it reminded me of the story of the little boy in kindergarten that went to his first day of school. And his teacher said to all the students, said, everybody stand, and we're going to say the pledge to the flag of the United States of America, what we call the national anthem. She said, I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to put your hand over your heart and repeat the pledge to the flag. Well, all the students put their hands over the heart, but one little boy put his hand right back here on his bottom. She thought, what in the world is he doing? And she said, I said, put your hand on your heart. And he put his hand right back there on his behind. And she came up to him and said, son, I ask y'all to put your hand on your heart and say the pledge to the flag of the United States of America. What are you doing? And the little boy looked at the teacher and said, well, see, when grandma comes, she pats me right back there and says, bless your little heart. Bless your little heart. So he got a little confused about where his heart was. But I do believe this, that God wants to give and wants us to give me a hand. Give me a hand. And probably you want to be blessed today. Where we're going today is I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Galatians. We're going to look at chapter 6 of the book of Galatians. And there are three ways that I want to challenge you and encourage you to be a blessing to somebody else today. Three ways we'll see clearly in the text. Because I'm convinced, my friend, that a lot of us today are going through hardships and going through trials and experiencing some challenges in our life. And can I say on behalf of myself and probably on behalf of many of you today that many of you are bearing burdens. Can I get an amen? That was kind of weak, but I still believe you are bearing burdens. We are all bearing burdens. That is our own burdens as well as I hope that this message will challenge you and me to not just receive the blessings of God, but to be a blessing. Lord, make me a channel of blessing. God, make me usable, more usable. Lord, help me to make a difference while I've got a little bit of time here this side of heaven. And we come to the book of Galatians, and in chapter 6 of the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Galatia, Asia Minor. Many believe a earlier date was probably 47, 48 A.D. when he penned these words. Others say probably 53 or 54. That's a later date. At any rate, it doesn't matter. The point is the Holy Spirit used him. And by the way, some of the main issues in this particular letter was justification by faith. Why? Because there were certain people who had crept in the church and were teaching another gospel. In fact, that you could be saved some other way, namely by some legalistic means or by some law of some sort and thus be right with God. And to counter that and refute that, the Apostle Paul says, no, we're saved by faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone, and not by works. And not only, by the way, are we saved that way, but we're to live that way. We're to live the Spirit-filled life. And so he begins to unfold in this particular letter some of those issues of walking in the Spirit and not walking in the flesh. I said all that to lead us up to chapter 6 of the book of Galatians. If you're there, say amen. And if you'd like to stand up, we're going to read the Word of God. I want to read verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then skip down to verse 9. The title of the message is, Give Me a Hand. Give me a hand. And there's probably some of you today or some of us today that need a hand. We could use a hand. And I'll tell you, there's three ways that you and I can be a blessing. Number one, Will you give, number one, and I'll give you this, so don't worry about writing it down. Will you give a healing hand to those who are hurting? Give a healing hand to those that are hurting. I find that in verse 1. Number 2, will you give a helping hand to those that are bearing burdens? I find that in verse 2. And number 3, will you give a hopeful hand to those who are discouraged and feel like quitting? I begin reading in verse number 1 of chapter 6. Brethren, by the way, the word brethren there is the word adelphos, which means church brethren, Christian brethren, adelphos, brethren, if, notice he says if, that's conditional. If a man be overtaken in a fault, underline that word overtaken. We'll come back to it in a moment. If a man be overtaken in a fault, underline that word fault. Ye which are spiritual, you that have been coming to church for a long time, you that are, have been under the word of God, you which are spiritual, you that are not on the milk anymore, but you're starting to feed on the meat, I'm adding in between. Ye that are spiritual, you that have know some of the scriptures, you that are supposedly, not walking in the flesh, but yet you that are spiritual, you that have, again, you come to church, you come to Sunday school, you that are spiritual, what? Notice verse number 1. You which are spiritual, do what? Restore. That word restore has to do with mend or put back together. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Wow, that's causing for self-examination. Look at your own self and don't think that you can't slip and fall yourself. That's what he's saying. Verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That word, so fulfill the law of Christ. Love your neighbor. Will you love your neighbor? And in the church, we're to love each other, right? We're to carry each other's burdens. That is, we're to bear burdens. But wait a minute, keep reading. Verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Verse 5. It seems like a contradiction, verse 5 and verse number 2, but it's not. I'll explain in a moment. Look at verse 5. But every man shall bear his own burden. And so you wait. But so wait a minute now. In verse 2, he said we're to bear one another's burden. But now he's saying we're to bear our own burden. I'll explain. Two different words. Totally two different words. We see them the same in English, but not in the Greek language, as I'll share in a moment. Then look at verse number 9. I love verse 9. Be not weary in well-doing. And I got a feeling there's some of us are tired, we're weary. It's been hot, and you got a lot of things going on, and the pressures and the stress. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season, that is, at the proper time. Oh, I like that. For in due season, wow, God knows the due season. In due season, we shall reap if we don't give up, if we don't cave in, if we don't throw in the towel, if we don't back up, but if we faint not. And this is the word of the Lord. May God bless it as give me a hand. Give me a hand. Father, I thank you for the word of God. Oh, blessed God, you became the word, Jesus. And the written word becomes the preached word, and the preached word becomes the fleshed out word. I need you now like never before, and I'm asking for fresh oil. I'm asking for fresh cleansing. I'm asking you, Father, for opening the ears of your people and the hearts of your people. And Father, we thank you the word of God is alive. And we thank you, Jesus, you do forgive, wash our sins away. And through your own redeeming, precious, cleansing blood, you said you don't remember our sin. And I pray, Father God, that you'd cleanse me now and that you'd cleanse us now. And that, Father, you'd help us to look out and see our brothers and sisters that are bearing burdens. And Lord, we can't bear everybody's burden, but help us to do what we can for your glory. And I know that you're well able to bring people in our life to help us bear our burdens as well. And so, God, we worship you today because you're alive, because you're a living God, and you're still in the life-changing business, and you've ascended on high, and you're seated, according to your word, at the right hand, the Lord Jesus of the Father, waiting for one glorious day when you come back, and we should be caught up together with our ones that have gone on before us, and so shall we ever be with you. So God, help us, Lord, to get under the burden today. The burden of brothers and the burden of sisters and the burden of mamas and the burden of daddies. And Father God, oh God, we need grace today. We need strength today. We need supernatural, extraordinary, fresh power from on high today. And so God, I pray you'll change us as we wait upon you. And, Father, we want to give you the glory now for the souls that have come to Jesus and been transformed by a living God. And those, our Father, that are far away and cold and indifferent and lukewarm and God, our Father, drifting further from you even today, I pray the long, mighty arms of grace, God, our Father, will come looking for them and draw them back and let them know, God, you're not finished yet. You've got a plan and a purpose, and we'll fulfill that one day with your, Lord, for your glory. And we thank you now for those that have gathered. I pray special blessings as you just, Father, invade this place with your presence and glory. And we love you and give you glory for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. Give me a hand. Give me a hand. Again, here's where we're going in the message today. I'll tell you where we're going in the message. Give me a hand. Number one, there's three ways that I believe that we can be a blessing to somebody else. And they're right here on the screen, so you can write them down if you'd like to. Three ways. Number one, I find it in verse one. Will you reach out a healing hand? A healing hand to a hurting brother or sister. And that's found in verse one. Will you reach out a healing hand? That's the message the Lord gave me as I was praying about this week. Notice again, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. If a man be overtaken in a fault. Let's pause for a moment there. What does that word overtaken mean? What does it mean to be overtaken in a fault? The word overtaken, interesting to note, is the word paralambano, and the word paralambano means to be engulfed or to be surprised or to be hit from the blind side. If a man be overtaken, that is, a man be surprised, a man be overtaken, a man slip. If a man or a woman be overtaken in a fault, that word fault means a slip. It's not talking about, you know, like a hog would wallow in the mud or the mire, but rather it's if a man be overtaken in a fault, if a man be not something necessarily premeditated, but yet overtaken nonetheless in a fault, in a blemish, in a sin, in a error. If a man be overtaken in a fault, then you which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And so, as we think, first of all, will you reach out? Will you reach out a healing hand? I'm asking you a question. And there's some of you today that you need, you've been overtaken, and we all at times get overtaken. Will you reach out a healing hand? There's some people hurting out there. There's some people hurting right here. There's some people hurting out there. No, I know you can't bear everybody's burdens, but you can and I can reach out a healing hand to a hurting brother or sister. And so I'm asking you a question. Will you reach out a healing hand? Will you reach out a healing hand? You say, but Pastor, I've got all this stuff going on, and man, I've got so much going on, I don't even have time to reach out a helping hand or a healing hand. Well, that's just the problem. If we're not careful, we become so self-centered. It's all about me, myself, and I. We're consumed and inundated with ourselves. And if we're not careful, we can focus on all our little problems and forget that God's got other ways to bless us and to use people in our lives. Watch this. If we'll be a blessing to somebody else. I believe the scripture, if whatever man sows, that's what he also reaps. That's in chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. And we sow to the flesh, reap the corruption, sow to the spirit, reap life everlasting. But speaking of hurting, it reminded me of the story of the man who was at a restaurant, and for the life of him, he couldn't, he was over at the salad bar, and he slipped down, and he fell, and somebody saw him, and he tried to get up, and he took a step and fell again. And people were noticing at the restaurant, this man couldn't stand up. He was trying to pull himself up, and he'd try to stand up and walk, and he'd fall again. Finally, some man jumped up and ran over there and said, call 911. They called 911. They said, this man's something wrong with him. He needs help. They called 911. 911 came rushing in. They brought the stretchers. They put him on a stretcher, and they rolled him out into the ambulance. They took him down to the ER. As he was being rolled into the ER, his wife met him in the double doors on the other side. And as they were rolling him in, she said, what's wrong? They said, well, this man, you know this man? Yes, he's my husband. What's wrong? She said, well, he was falling. He couldn't stand up. Every time he tried to stand up, he'd fall. The woman said, well, do you have his wheelchair? They said, wheelchair? What wheelchair? They didn't know he had a wheelchair. Hello? Sometimes we don't always figure it out. We think we know what's going on, but we really don't. I love the late Dr. Howard Hendricks, who was professor, and we all have heard him about in our Sunday school meetings. He was the late professor, renowned professor of Dallas Theological Seminary. He illustrated the story of how this could be portrayed. For example, how many of you got to go to the beach this year or the ocean? You got to see it. Maybe some of you did. I don't know. But anyway, he said, it's kind of like when you slip, like the reference, if a man be overtaken in a fault, if a man be overtaken in a fault. He illustrated like it's kind of like when you're out in the ocean and, you know, you're on a float and one particular individual was on a float and they began to drift further and further from the shore and the next thing you know, they were way out in the ocean. You know, when you slip and fall in the Christian life, it's very evident and obvious. And he said it's like when you're on a float out in the ocean by yourself and you can't get back to the shore. Nothing you can do to get you back to the shore. You need somebody to give me a hand, somebody to help me get back to the shore. But he said this, I like this. He said, well, at least I added this part. He said, I got to thinking about it. You know, when people see you on the shore, they're going to begin to talk about you. Look at them out in the ocean. Yeah. They'll talk about you. They'll stand there on the shore and point at you. And some will laugh and some will talk about you. And that's about the extent of lending a helping hand. But he said, but every once in a while, there'll be somebody on the shore that'll grab a life vest and they'll start swimming out to the ocean where you're at. And you're out there, you can't get back to the shore, you can't help yourself, so it takes somebody to swim out to the where you're at and get a life vest and jacket and put it on you and say, come on, I'm going to take you back to the shore. And then begin to drag you back to the shore and take you back to the shore. That's the picture of Galatians 6:1. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. That word restore is mend, put back together. You which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. I want to tell you something, beloved, as we think about this today. Now, today we're sitting here and saying praise God for the blessings of God, and things might be going all right now. But I begin to think about this, and here's what I want to share with you in this matter. You ready for this? There's three observations I'd like to make with the help of the Lord. Three observations that you need to get down. Do you hear me? You need to get these down. I need to get these down. Are you ready to write them down? Are you ready for the Holy Spirit to write them on your heart? Here they are, right here. Not only to give a healing hand, as I just mentioned, reach out a healing hand. There's probably somebody today and this is not what I'm going to talk about. I'll show you in a moment, but do reach out a healing hand. Somebody needs you to help them. I went out visiting yesterday, visited one of our men, and he said, man, I just can't do anything. I went out there to plant some tomatoes in my yard, and I can't even hardly get from the yard to my to inside the house without stopping and resting. I just can't do it. And I could tell it was bothering him tremendously. And he went on to tell me some of the other problems he's facing physically. And so I did the best I could to reach out a healing hand and say, brother, I'm sorry. I don't know what you're going through, but I know this, that God is going to be with you. And it seemed to help some. And then I began to pray for him and reach out to him. But here's the three observations. Now, don't, please, Don't miss this. Do not miss this. I believe this is a God thing right here. Number one, if I'm going to reach out a healing hand to a hurting brother, then as the Lord told us to do through Paul, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, number one. You ready to this? Get this down now. Get this down. Please get it down. Number one, anybody can fall. Anybody can fall. Say that with me. Say it again. One more time. Do you believe you can fall? You don't think you can fall? Be careful. You better be careful. Be careful if you think you can't fall. Because he that thinketh his stand, take heed lest he fall. And when a man thinks he's something, when he's nothing, he deceives himself. You see that in verse number 4 of the text and 3 of the text? Look what he says in verse number 3. If a man thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Anybody can fall. And the devil's got his pits. And the devil's got his traps. You know what's the danger of sitting in church for Sunday after Sunday and year after year and week after week, month after month? If we're not careful, we can kind of get this attitude that, you know, we're a little bit superior. I'm not saying you do, but it's easy to get that way. I've done my duty. I've been in church, and I go to church. And then we look around our neighborhood and say, well, they don't go to church, and I do. And then we compare, you know, our family. They don't go to church, but I do. And if we're not careful, we can get a little bit kind of egotistical. We can get a little bit, prideful. And we kind of got a, Lord wants us to appreciate and thank him for his blessings, but he that thinketh his stand. Anybody can fall. Anybody can fall at any given time. And just because you hadn't fallen doesn't mean you won't fall tomorrow. I said just because you hadn't fallen doesn't mean you won't fall tomorrow. That's why this message is so important. Because I want to tell you something. If you're even one bit if you're one bit of a threat to the devil's got your number. He's got you in his sights. And he is going to do everything he can with his demonic activity to cause you and me to trip and to fall. And if you don't think you can fall, you and I have been deceived, misled. Anybody can fall. Anybody. I mean, Peter said, I'll never deny you. Now, do you think you're more spiritual than Peter? Do I think I'm more spiritual than Peter? No, I don't think so. And yet Peter said, I'll never, 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 never deny you, Jesus. And Jesus said, oh, yeah, Peter, you'll deny me 3 times when the cock crows. Be careful, brother, be careful, sister, that we don't become judgmental and become a Pharisee, because it's easy to be that way, and we think that, well, just because I'm not doing this and just because I'm not doing that, and we will rejoice in it, but it's by grace alone. I said it's by grace alone. Y'all don't want to help me this morning. That's all right. It's connecting. I can tell it's connecting. It's connecting. Anybody can fall. And you see, Peter fell. The Bible gives us indications of other saints of God who fell too. What about Jonah? The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Arise and go to Nineveh. Y'all listening? Are y'all listening? The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh. Uh-uh, no way, Jose. He didn't really say that. But he said, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm going to Tarshish instead. And he learned the hard way. Yes, he did. But anybody could fall. Don't miss that, beloved. Don't think that you can, that you're the place where that you won't slip and fall. Hey, it don't take much to develop a bad attitude. And just cause you might not fall into something else, people can tell when you got a bad attitude. You know, you get on Facebook or you get on your telephone and you start criticizing this or saying comments. People can tell. People can tell when you have a critical spirit. People can tell when you're self-righteous. People can tell when we're around them, when we develop a complaining attitude. Murmur about this and not be grateful for this. You know, it doesn't take much for just because we hadn't necessarily something else, but it doesn't take much for anybody can fall, number one. You agree with that if you do say amen. That's why we ought to get to God today. I said, that's why we ought to be at the altar today. I said, that's why if we don't get with God, you think you can't fall, the devil's going to set you up. He'd love to do that. And then God knows how to get us on our knees. Yeah, when we think, you know, we're flying high, and you know, you've heard the old expression, sometimes the Lord allows our wings to be clipped. Anyway, anybody can fall. Number two, somebody ought to pick them up. I said, somebody ought to pick them up. That's what Paul's saying. Brethren, if you Christians, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, if a man be paralambano, if a man be overtaken, if a man slip and fall, if a man be hit from the blind side, if a man be overtaken in a blemish, in a fault, in a sin, in a moment of bad decision. How many know you and I are one bad decision away from stepping out of the will of God? One bad decision. One bad decision. Don't think it can happen to me or you. Oh, by the grace of God. That's why I need the Lord's grace and power in my life today. So, somebody ought to pick them up. How many believe somebody ought to pick them up? We ought to be in the restoration business, folks. Don't pick up rocks and throw them at your brother and sister. Don't kick them when they're down. No, the church, we're not to shoot our wounded. Hello? No, rather, we're to pick them up. We're to lift them. If a man, why do I say that? Because I've read it right here. If a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual. First, I got to examine my heart. God, it's only by your grace, it's not me. And you which are spiritual, restore. That word restore means put back together. It means mend. Somebody ought to pick them up. I want to ask you a question. Do you know somebody in your church family? Do you know somebody in your own family that slipped and fallen? I'm not saying you can fix everybody's problems, but I'm saying this. The Lord's told us that restoration and love and forgiveness is what He extends to you and me. And it's easy to get a self-righteous Pharisee type of attitude when you're serving God and you're battling the world, the flesh, the devil every day, and somebody falls. You know, it's kind of like if the devil has his way. Watch this. We're so competitive. Our society is so competitive. Our culture is so competitive with ball and this and that. We're so competitive. If we're not careful, now I know we'd never admit it. No, I'd never admit this. No, I know you'd never admit it. I'd never want to admit it. But if sometimes when somebody falls, we're not careful, we tend to snicker under our breath. Yeah. That's in every one of us, hello. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. You know what I'm talking about. You know, you've got resentment in your heart towards someone, or they didn't treat you right, or didn't say something, or they're not doing something. And then there's a little bit of flesh in us that can kind of, I got what you deserve. Really? How does God look at that? It just shows you. No wonder Paul said, we're to walk in the Spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5, verse 16 following. Anybody can fall, number one. Somebody ought to pick them up. Do you know a brother right now or a sister right now? You can reach out a healing hand to somebody's hurting. Now, timing has a lot to do with this. I don't have time in just a few moments of this message to go into all the details about this. I'm simply just hitting the high points. Reach out. Will you reach out a healing hand to a hurting brother or sister? Why? Because anybody can fall and somebody ought to pick them up. When's the last time you picked somebody up? I ask you a question. When's the last time you picked somebody up? Hello? When's the last time you picked somebody up? When's the last time you even thought about it? You say, but Pastor, I'm afraid to because if I do that, then that thing's going to come back to me. No, God says, I'll bring people around in your life when you be a blessing to them, when you're a blessing to them, and I'll bring people around in your life when you're hurting and when you're down. I'll bring people around in your life. God is good, isn't He? Praise His holy name. Number three, anybody can fall. Somebody ought to pick them up. number three, and the Lord put this on my heart. Watch this. You ready for this? Everybody needs to watch your step. Watch your step. Say it with me. Watch your step. Say it again. Don't you agree with me? Watch your step. Watch your step. Watch your step. Be careful where you're stepping. Will you reach out a healing hand to a hurting brother or sister? Why? Because anybody can fall. Somebody ought to pick them up. And there's already people in this church building this morning that have felt very uncomfortable or maybe have got up and left when I started this message. And it wasn't intended for that other than saying, I believe God has called us as men and women of God to give me a hand. Lord knows I've been down. Have you ever been down? Has anybody ever been down with depression? Anybody ever been down with anxiety? Anybody ever been down with the cares of this world? Sure you have. We all have. Well, everybody needs to watch your step. Can I tell y'all something happened to me last week? Last week, I sat down at a table, and a man across the table as I was talking with him, he's in his 40s. And I began to talk with him about the things of the Lord. He looked at me, and I looked at him, and I said, well, tell me, how's your life been? And he began to tell me about serving the Lord, how he used to be involved in prison ministry, and how he used to be involved in discipling, and how he used to be on staff in a evangelistic position. And you could tell he just lit up when he talked about it. And I said, well, how are things going now, my brother? And he looked at me, and he dropped his head, and he said, just a couple of bad decisions. Couple of bad decisions. Can y'all hear me? Couple of bad decisions. Don't take much. And then he looked at me and he said it wasn't anything that was blatant. It wasn't anything that was, you know, he said it was just a couple of bad decisions. We have to make decisions all the time. Every one of us do. All the time. Now, sometimes some are more protected than others. You know, you're kind of behind the scenes. When you're standing up before folks, people are going to see a lot more of your flaws than when you're kind of hiding behind the scenes or when you're hiding in your bedroom behind a computer or TV or behind a telephone. I mean, most people can't see you quite like that, but they can see you in other ways. And I said to this brother, I told him, but listen, my friend, the last time I read it over here, you could tell that he was in a position that he was discouraged and down. I said, but wait a minute. The last time I read it, we serve a God of a second chance. And I said, by the way, the Lord Jesus is in the restoration business. And by the way, I read over there in 1 John 1:9, and he wasn't being self-introspective. He was just really sharing with us from his heart what had happened. And he wasn't doing it as a pity party. He was just sharing with me as a iron sharpens iron, a friend sharpens the countenance of a friend. And to confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you might be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so I told him, I said, but listen, my brother, the scripture says if we confess our sins, and we have to do that, I have to do that, you have to do it. When's the last time you confessed your sins? Oh, did you do it today? Has it been a month ago? Hello. We got to get right with the Lord. I mean, if we confess our sins, plural, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, I want to be a blessing. Will you reach out a healing hand to a hurting brother or sister today? Number two, will you reach out not only a healing hand, but will you reach out a helping hand to a brother or sister who's under a, watch this, heavy load? I find that in verse 2 of the text. Look again at Galatians 6:2. Bear you one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. The word for bear is the word bastazo. Bastazo, bear one another's burdens. It means get up under the load. Bear one another's burdens. Help carry the load. Bear one another's burdens. The word burden is the verb baros, B-A-R-O-S. Bear one another's burdens and then so fulfill the law of Christ. Love your neighbor. Now, I want to clarify for a moment, if you'll skip down in verse 5 of the text, it demands some clarification. Look at verse 5. Because verse 5, Paul wrote and said, "For every man shall bear his own burden." The word for bear there is the word fortune, okay? And the word is different than the word bear in verse 2. The word bear, as I just told you, bastadzo, means to get up under the load. But the word bear in verse number 5, every man shall bear his own burden. Here's the picture, beloved. The picture is, have you ever carried a backpack? You probably carried a backpack when we were in Israel. I carried a backpack around, and it wasn't too heavy. You know, you can put it on, and you walk, and those of you that go out and stuff know what I'm talking about. Just put a backpack on, not a heavy one. You can bear that, no problem. I don't need any help, all right? I can bear that backpack. It's not a big deal. Every man bear his own burden. Some things are light that you don't need any help, you know? There's some things you can carry by yourself. But the word in verse 2 means, you know, it's like this. I'm carrying my Bible right now. I don't need any help. I know you'd help me, Mason, but I think I can handle this, okay? I can pick it up, no problem. It's just a Bible, right? I'm illustrating, okay? But then I come up here and I say, wait a minute. Man, this thing's solid as wood. Any of you that ever picked it up know this thing is heavy. There's no way I can pick this up by myself. No way. There's no way I can pick this up by myself. Without getting a hernia, of course, and or something worse. Anyway, I might need some help picking this thing up. Anybody help me? Bear one of those burdens. This thing's too heavy for me. I can't pick it up. I picked it up with two men, one on one side and one on the other, and picked it up and set it here and there, but this thing's solid wood. You men know what I'm talking about, right? This is heavy. I need some help. Okay? I need some help. I can't pick it up by myself. That's the picture. Bear one of those burdens. Can I suggest to you today that there's some burdens that are so heavy that you can't bear them alone? I know the Lord told us, cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. There's some burdens that you need to carry because you can carry them. There's some burdens that you can't carry. Bear one of those burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. Don't you love that? A little dog on the back of a horse going across, I guess, the lake or whatever it is. Bear one another's burdens. Get up under the load. I want to tell you, that's Christianity 101. And there's some people probably here today in this place, or maybe people you know that you can get up under the load. And you got to really pray through that thing, and you got to really ask God for his wisdom as to know how to you can get up under that load with somebody. Don't just kind of blow in and try to take over. And you need to be delicate and careful, like I said, bear one of those burdens. And Paul said, ye which is spiritual, restore such a one. Take it gently. Don't just jerk their arm out of place when it's been hurt, but like a nurse that would delicately and gently put it back in place. Bear one of those burdens. If you are spiritual, restore such a one. Restore such a one. I've got news for you, brothers and sisters. The woods all up and down Jackson Lake Road and 212 and Highway 11, they're full of people that are sitting home today, and whether it's their fault or not, they need somebody to reach out to them and bear the burden and bring them back will of God and the house of God, that God would use them once again. Amen and amen and amen. Yep. You've been there too, probably. Well, bear one of those burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. Help carry the load. You know how, look how this is done. He's got a load, but he's helping. And then God's sure to bring somebody else to help him carry that load. And then somebody else is helping carry that load. And somebody else is helping carry that load. I see that in the church. No, you can't bear everybody's burdens. There are times when I would love as a pastor to carry everybody's burdens. The Lord showed me I can't do it. It's too much. It's too heavy. There's too many multitudinous. And that's why God is using you and you and you and you to help bear those burdens, to help get up under the burden, to help pray with folks when they need praying. But let me just say this. Y'all don't take this the wrong way, okay? I don't mean it harm by it, so I probably need to explain, but I won't have time to explain fully. I'll just make a statement, and you run with it in the direction you think that I'm meaning it, okay? There's some people in church, they're like a tick on an old dog. They just suck the blood out of the church, and that's all they want is me, myself, and I. Can I get a witness? Y'all don't want to talk to me today. That's all right. Some people that just are like an old tick. No matter what you do, no matter what you do, no matter what you do, you just spin your wheels. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't help, but there's some people that they don't want any help, okay? Right? Y'all know people like that, right? Don't want any help, and so... And the more you help them, the more the need, and the more you help them, the more you need. And that's their lifestyle. It's the lifestyle of codependency, and I won't go there, but you know where I'm going with that. So I'm saying this, as a child of God, as a leader, how many believe y'all are servant leaders? Let me see your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Anybody else? Just 17 servant leaders in the church today? Anybody else? Okay, well, I got news for you. You are a servant leader, whether you raise your hand or not. Hello. And so we're all, if you're a Christian, saved by the grace of God, we're to serve the Lord because he's called us to do so. And anyway, so do what you can. Just do what you can. All right? Just do what you can. And because there'll be some people in a message like this, they'll hear it and then they'll go out and God will lead them and then they'll, have good intentions to help bear somebody's burden, but then they get bogged down. They get bogged down, and it's weeks and months, and then they get all kind of problems and all kind of ramifications because they're trying to help somebody else, and they say, well, my pastor told me to help somebody. Look, God's called us to be discerning too. Okay, that's all I'm saying. Point done. Bear each other. Well, bear the burdens. Number one, will you reach out a healing hand to a hurting brother or sister? Number two, will you reach out a helping hand to a brother or sister who's under a heavy load? Number three, will you reach out a hopeful hand to a brother or sister who is discouraged and ready to quit? How many have ever been discouraged? Let me see your hand. Most of us here have been discouraged. I dare say maybe some of us even today have been discouraged. This week we've been discouraged. Things aren't going good. Jobs, demands, responsibility. I'm changing. This is going on in my life. I'm discouraged. Some family matters I can't change. And we need the Lord, don't we? And it helps for people to pray for us. It helps for people to pray for us. See, there's somebody sitting here today that you don't think needs you to pray for them, but they need you to pray for them. I can assure you. There's people here today. We come to church sometimes and say, well, what can I get out of it? What can I get out of it? Wait a minute. God may be speaking to you about your brothers and sisters today. What about bearing burdens? What about praying? What about reaching out not only a healing hand but a helping hand? And what about a hopeful hand? Look at verse 9 of the text. I love this. Paul said, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For we shall reap if we faint not in due season. If you serve the Lord any length of time, and some of you, listen to me, Sunday school teachers, you get weary, don't you? You do, don't you? Come on, let's be honest. It's just us, right? Sunday school teachers get weary 52 weeks out of the year. You get weary, don't you? I know. I understand. Nursery workers get weary. You know, pastors, preachers get weary. Speaking of bearing burdens, I got a call this week from Sister Bonnie West. Sister Bonnie has been taking care of her dad. How many remember Sister Bonnie? She said, I still pray for you, Brother Randy, in New Rocky Creek. I said, thank you, Sister Bonnie. I'm still praying for you as well. She said, Brother Randy, she called me on Friday. She said, my dad has been in the, I've been taking care of my dad. He's fallen. He's 88 years old. He can't kind of get around like he used to could. And anyway, long story short, she said that he had a stroke. He can't use his legs anymore. Consequently, they had to put him into a nursing home facility. And she said, on top of that, he's got bed sores on his feet and on his legs. And it's just, he's got dementia and he's just going downhill. And she said, I just need you to pray for me. And if he passes away, I want to know if you would have a part in his funeral homegoing service. I said, I'd be honored to, Sister Bonnie. And matter of fact, I'll try to go visit him next week. But because I had the privilege of being with her mom and preaching her homegoing service as well. What I'm talking about is bearing one other's burdens. What I'm talking about is praying for each other. And so, be not weary in well-doing, for we shall reap if we faint not. If we faint not, be not weary in well-doing. Anybody that you've served God any length of time, know, watch this, and see if y'all agree with me. When you get up under the burden, and you get up under the load with somebody, and you begin to help carry that burden, whatever it is, it's going to take something out of you. Right? It's going to drain you, my friend. It's going to drain you. You better believe it. When you get up under the burden and help somebody bear a burden, maybe that's why we don't do more of it, because we know it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost you some emotional and physical and mental and spiritual substance. That's all right. God's rewards are far better than our own comfort and pleasure. The blessings of God are far greater than our own self-preservation. I've got to preserve myself after all. I mean, I'm not saying you should abuse yourself. I'm just saying this. When you bear somebody's burdens, it's going to take something out of you. Bear one of those burdens and be not weary in well-doing. If you serve God any length of time, you know what I'm talking about. You go the extra mile. I'm looking around the room. I see many who've gone the extra mile for years and years and years. Man, it's just God's grace to keep you on the firing line. If you hadn't served the Lord for a number of years, maybe you have, but, you go above and beyond, and next thing you know, you just get tired and weary. It's easy to quit. It's easy to give up. It's easy to say, I'm not appreciated. Right? Somebody don't pat you on the back. Somebody don't commend you or give you accolades. And bless God, nobody recognizes what I'm doing. I don't know if I'm going to keep doing this or not. I'm spending my time doing this, and I could be doing that. I could be at the beach. I could be going here or there, and I'm just spinning my wheels right here, and it seems like I'm not getting anywhere. Can y'all hear me? Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And there's some of us today that are weary. You've kind of gotten out of the battle. I know you got to get refreshed. I know you got to get them batteries charged up, but and especially in this kind of hot weather and serving God is not easy. I mean, tomorrow I'd much rather just stay at home or be around the church, do things. And the Lord dealt with me about that yesterday. I said, dear Lord, I'd rather, than drive all the way down there to Savannah and come out of my comfort zone and sleep in another bed and get all this stuff packed and all that stuff. And God said, son, do stop your whining and serve me. How many know if you're going to serve the Lord, at times the flesh doesn't want to die easy. But wait a minute. When we serve the Lord and when we get over the flesh and whining and all that stuff like we do at times, guess what's on the other side? Blessings. Woo! blessings, blessings, blessings. And it's worth serving the Lord. It's worth every minute of it because God knows how to bless us. And you can't get those blessings anywhere else. But when you're in the will of God, doing the will of God for your life, oh God, stretch us today. Enlarge our coast today. Fill us with Holy Ghost power today. Bind the devil today. Lord, release heaven's power today. Lord, fortify us with faith today. Lord, go before us with a sharp sword. Lord, raise up men and women and young people that'll serve you with gladness. God, stir our hearts today. Lord, call us out of our life of comfort and ease and pleasure and get us, dear Lord, on the straight and the narrow way. Father, thank you that you saved us. You called us for such a time as this. Lord, cause your church to rise up. Lord, change us and we'll be changed. Give us heaven's vision. Lord, put Holy Ghost power in us. And when all's said and done, we'll give you the glory. Let's stand together, can we?